What's up? We're Low Life Tea Party. This song's called Ventriloquist. This song's about my parents. This song's called Love Hate. We'll be right back. realized halfway through that song that my my amp was on a clean channel this entire time. It wouldn't be a low life tea party show if it wasn't something like that. Say, I gotta let my brother Noah take it over.
Hello, I'm Noah. I'm the guitar player for Low Life Tea Party. This next song is called Happy. I wrote this one. I think it's kind of cool. So.
We'll be right back.
I wanna be happy, and I know that I can't be. I wanna find the fun in things, all the things that I used to be. I wanna be happy with the things in front of me, and I know that I should be, but my life is so big stuck. I wanna be happy with the things in front of me, and I know that I should be, but my life is so big stuck. I wanna be happy, you know I wanna be. A smile on your face that I know that I'll never see. I wanna be happy, you know I wanna be. The center of this crowd, but I know that I'll never be. I'll never be happy with the things in front of me, cause I don't deserve to be, cause my life is fucking stuck. I'll never be happy with the things in front of me, cause I don't deserve to be, cause my life is fucking stuck. Something to be happy about.
Nice.
A little Foley art.
Okay, Chris.
Just wondering who that was.
Chris, go away. Into Twilight.
You can put the wrapper down.
I don't.
You can put it down.
Wrapper.
No.
So I can have serotonin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
4 out of 10. You can do better with that burp.
That was on command.
No,
perfectly mid.
All right. So we are River City Sounds, episode 56. I'm Cole.
And I'm Chloe.
And we have with us
Low Life Tea Party.
Low Life.
Yeah.
Tea
Party.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You guys go around and introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
All right. I'm Thomas.
I'm Chris.
You guys both forgot to say what you do in the band.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Let's do it in order, too.
Okay, here, Chris, you can go first.
I'm Chris. I do drums and songwriting.
My name's Blake. I am the bassist. I blew out my voice yesterday screaming on a stage.
Hi, my name is Noah. I play lead guitar and write music sometimes.
My name is Thomas. I play guitar and do lead vocals, and I like to party.
Perfect.
How big of a fan of Andrew WK are you?
You know what? I loved his work in Destroy, Build, Destroy. His music work, I never really got super into it. It's not really my thing, but I know that his stand-up is hilarious, and he himself is just a absolute powerhouse of energy all the time, and I aspire to be like that.
I know we're already going off on tangents, but have you seen the Hot Ones with Bert Kreischer, and he actually meets Andrew WK, and he's like, I brought him a six-pack, and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, partying, man. It's like it's 8 a.m. Truly don't party.
That's funny as hell.
Oh my gosh.
Do y'all want to talk about your origin story?
Origin story. Yeah, that's a complicated one.
So, my mom and dad fucked.
We're allowed to swear to
curse?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Sorry.
Sweet. I was about to say, we probably wouldn't get through this podcast without letting one slip.
Yeah.
So, the band unofficially started in 2015 when I was in high school, and I just came up with the name Low Life Tea Party. At the time, I was living in a very small town in Northern Virginia. of which I do not feel like mentioning by name because it's not worth it. But I never really was able to find a group of people that I could actually really do what I wanted to do, and that was, you know, write originals and in a particular style in a certain way.
And then he met me.
So fast forward to 2019, I graduate high school, and during the summer I start, you know, buying the equipment and getting everything, like all the software that I needed to start recording on my own. And so I just started writing and recording these original tracks, you know, pretty much all of which are featured in our first couple albums. And then come move-in day to VCU.
Sorry, then he met me.
Yeah. VCU move-in day 2019 as a rosy-cheeked freshman or whatever. I'm standing in line at GRC, and a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I like your Slipknot shirt." And that guy turned out to be Chris. And so for a while we lived on the same floor, and, you know, it turned out that we had a lot in common with our taste in music. And I was like, "Well, hey, I have this kind of solo project band thing. Do you want to come hear it?" And so he would come to my dorm room and I'd show him what I was working on. And then I think for the next 3 months I was getting pestered constantly, being like, "Hey, if you need a drummer, hey, if you need a drummer, hey, Tom, if you want a drummer, I'm your guy."
The and amount so, of times I bought you canes.
Yeah, basically I was bribed and or bullied into letting Chris into my band and also into my heart as my best friend.
Sounds about right.
So then I know Noah and Blake from high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris and I did all sorts
jazz,
of band stuff together.
Band together.
Goon shit.
I've been playing with him for like five... Holy crap, six years at this point?
A long time.
Like
long time. We had a couple bands that we tried to start beforehand. couple predecessors.
So we ended up, with our first bass player, didn't end up working out. So we ended up hiring Noah. And Noah was awesome. We recorded our third album, Get It Together with Noah. And then we realized that we also probably should get a second guitar player.
Here, a little aside from that. As a matter of fact, when Noah officially joined the band, he had not really ever played bass before. He had expressed interest in learning how to play guitar. I gave him one guitar lesson, and then when the position opened for us to get a new bass player, we asked Noah, and he learned how to play bass in a month and then laid down all of the bass tracks for our third studio album.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah,
I was actually a wind instrumentalist. I played saxophone.
And then they asked me to join along. Literally, like, what? Like, a week before the... like, a week or two before the album drops.
3 months before.
Yeah.
3 months?
Yep. We hired you in March. The album came out. At the
hired?
No, it
you
seemed
pay
like
him?
There was so much less practicing time
yeah,
between
we have, like, we... So, a big rule with us is we're friends before we're bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also... All of us would love to make this our career for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we want to treat it at least with some sort of professionalism to it as well. So, I mean, like, we all drafted up a contract together.
That's dope.
And signed it just so we understood the rules and expectations of each other for the band.
That's really cool. It's very forward thinking.
I wasn't a part of it, bitch.
Actually, yes, you
we
were.
Literally
we redrafted it
every year.
Yeah,
yeah. Like it's a very it's like something where like we keep an eye out on the calendar for like
once.
You know, like I think we probably have another 6 or 7 months, and then we're gonna have to like draft up a new, you know, version of the contract. And a lot of that stems from just change of not only membership but also just like what we're doing at the time, like. This past year has been amazing for us. We've played a lot of really, really awesome shows. And so just like keeping that document up to date with, you know, the kind of expectations and, you know, what our kind of goals are for everything has just been really kind of helpful and just kind of keeping us centered.
Do those goals usually change year to year?
You know, sometimes. I would say that a big goal starting out was to just like actually go out and play, and so like the first we'll call them shows that we played were like open mic nights and stuff like that, and then COVID hit, and so we weren't really able to do anything for you know, the better part of a year back in 2020.
Yeah, until about probably the end of 2020 leading into 2021. We bought a mixer.
Yeah.
And then started doing live stream shows on Twitch. And so we did like a monthly live stream show just so we could get back to playing with each other and just... We tried to be as safe with it as possible.
Playing with
like
each other in a musical context.
Right. It's also like rehearsing in front of people as well, you know, because it's like not as much pressure because you're not physically looking at people there, but you know the chat's there, and it's good to... It was a good way at the time to still get together and play and kind of simulate the idea of playing for people without having to be exposed.
Play for people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then after that, yeah, I mean, like, the big goal was just to actually get back on a stage and, you know, get in front of audiences. And I would say that currently our goals are pretty much the same, but, you know, looking, you know, 6-7 months down the line, it might totally change and be something totally different. I mean, maybe by the next time we draft up the contract, it's going to have a clause that if we ever write, like, a ska song, that we just have to instantly disband.
So what was, like, the original inspiration for writing something like that?
Chris is just a very business-minded type guy.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all just kind of... It was more of a way that we could all get together and actually understand what we all wanted out of this project. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So okay. We can all kind of be on the same page as far as what we want to do musically, what we don't want to do musically, what kind of things we want to put out publicly, you know, all that.
Also just conduct of you know, people and expectations for behavior during rehearsals or shows. You know, like, don't stumble onto stage absolutely hammered.
Do y'all want to talk about, like, your influences for this project? Like, any bands, any genres or artists that you're really inspired by?
Thomas Draven actually has this one band, this one band that he will not shut the hell up about. He loves, and I mean, I'm serious about this,
it's
loves the shit out of Weezer.
Whoa, okay. No. Okay, so Blake is the world's biggest Weezer fan. I cannot stand them. And he somehow defends this group that, I don't know, it's like some accountants decided to throw together and it just kept going.
Why are you hating on Weezer publicly?
I won't go too much more against Weezer because I'm sure they could, like, ruin my career and get me blackballed.
That's right, they won't listen to this.
The Blue Album is, like, one of the best albums ever made.
Point being is that Weezer does not influence our sound whatsoever, and I'm thankful for that.
It will, I promise you. With me in this band, I promise you there will be a Weezer song somewhere in there.
For serious
influences... No Weezer.
Yeah, that's what they're going to add next time.
For serious influences and inspirations, you know, a lot of my influences come from, you know, the sort of larger, like, pop punk bands like Sum 41, Blink 182, Green Day, Eve 6, bordering on, like, the pop rock sort of stuff, like All American Rejects and Boys Like Girls. But, you know, we also incorporate stuff on the heavier side of things. Like, we've had songs that are more in line with, like, A Day to Remember, and I know that's not, like, super heavy, but it's heavier than, you know, Boys Like Girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the other fellas have a lot of different inspirations and influences that they bring. I will say one person in particular that inspires me musically all the time is Patrick Williams of the band House and Home. They're Richmond homies.
Mm-hmm.
Pat produces all of our music now, for the most part, and he's just a super cool dude, super musically gifted and talented, and yeah, he inspires me to just, like, switch it up and try something new.
I know a bigger inspiration that I hope we're trying to push towards right now with stuff that we're writing now is more, like, post-punk stuff, mm-hmm. like Movements. There's this awesome band from Tennessee that if everyone who listens to this, check them out right after you listen to this. They're called Pale Lungs. They're phenomenal, and they're just, the guitar work is super cool, the writing style is super unique. But just, we're trying to, I guess, be more diverse and interesting and intricate with our sound moving forward.
Did you see Movements is playing at the Canal Club in September?
I did. Oh,
I saw
so
them
bad.
With Knocked Loose at the Norva with those two.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
So I know you guys have at least 3 releases, you said, out so far. Is that all you have, or do you have some more than that so far?
So we have 3
albums.
3 albums, 2 EPs,
yeah.
And, like, four or five singles.
Okay, and were all those recorded by yourselves? Because you mentioned you recorded a lot originally by yourself.
The first two releases and then one of the EPs, as well as a handful of singles, I recorded, and I did all of the mixing and production for that. But mm-hmm. everything after our third album, Get It Together, has been done by Pat.
No, including our third album?
Yes. Including our third album, yeah. So Get It Together was done by Pat, who's the frontman anyway. Our most recent release was done by Pat, and yeah.
You said he's the frontman?
Who's the frontman?
No. So our most recent release.
My bad. Yeah, I saw that one.
Who's the frontman anyway?
I thought you were saying he's the frontman of this project. Like, well, where the fuck is he?
probably doing something really cool.
So because Tom wrote the first two albums and that first EP by himself, something that the band has been shooting out around and as an idea has been taking a lot of those songs and those projects and kind of redoing them a little bit.
Yeah.
With the whole band's input. And so we're going to try and do some like in-house recording of Low Life Reimagined, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We're going to reimagine our first couple of projects.
Our old stuff is going to have bass lines! Bass lines!
Yeah, I think the whole idea behind that is to kind of try and stick to the same kind of idea of what it originally was, which
yeah.
was, you know, homemade, self-recorded music, but also kind of take it and let us kind of, you know, look at what he wrote as kind of like a skeleton, kind of
yeah.
build on top of it
yeah.
as a band.
Mm-hmm. And like, kind of reminds me of like the Front Bottoms. They put out the EP, if you're a fan of them, they put mm-hmm. out an EP that kind of reimagine some of their stuff. You can talk if you like.
Oh yeah, my partner Alex is here for reference.
Yeah. I love them.
Also a big Front Bottoms fan.
Yes.
With the first two albums, that was kind of also part of the inspiration for Who's the Frontman Anyway, where originally you just had me writing everything and recording a lot of it as well. Who's the Frontman is effectively four songs written by each of the members of
That's cool.
Low Life Tea Party, and then where there was stuff missing, everybody else filled in the gaps in the best way that they know how, and it turned out really, really cool. Some of those songs on there are some of my favorite songs, not only that are of my band, but just in general. They're just, I mean, I was really proud of what we all were able to come up with, and especially what these guys were able to do.
Say, not to go on any side tangents or anything, but I'm very pleasantly surprised how that EP came out, considering everything that went into that, because that mm-hmm. was a huge transitional period for the band.
Yeah,
you found out was pregnant.
Yeah, I found out that my partner was pregnant. I have a lovely baby boy who is just about 3 months old.
Okay, very nice.
And so between that, I was also switching from bass to guitar
mm-hmm.
within the band itself. It was just, you know, a whole bunch of transition and new stuff going on, and I still think that EP turned out super well considering mm-hmm. everything.
Very nice. No, I was kind of relating to that. Kind of reminds me of like, what was it, Uno Dos Tres, that
yes.
the thing that Green Day put out.
A really good way to start dipping your toe in like the collaborative writing process.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
writing with other people is not easy.
It's difficult.
Writing by yourself isn't easy. So adding in other people's ideas with that, which is conflicting with your own ideas, and then trying to actually sort out what's good and what isn't, and what you want to use, is really stressful. So it's nice to be able to just bring something to the table
yeah.
and then slowly add in the pieces rather than everyone... it's like cooking a dish together with people rather than just having a potluck into one dish.
Yeah.
Right. I like that analogy a lot,
yeah.
actually.
So moving gears a little bit here, you guys were mentioning earlier about DIY house shows. Do you have a preference between those and more organized venues?
So I'm biased. I'm 100% biased on this because I help run the deck.
Oh, mm-hmm. We're actually going to go see them the next month, I think.
Yeah, going
to
be there.
Very dope. That'd be
Tommy
cool to see you
well.
Again.
Oh, wait, for the show? Or the...
We're doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah, with
awesome.
Tommy.
That's sick.
We're going to be at the deck, too, so that'll be fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Chris and I are members of a hardcore punk unit that I think is playing there.
Yeah, we're playing our other band, me and Blake's other band, Project Vertigo,
mm-hmm.
Just played this past one in May, and we're playing this upcoming September one.
I mean, personally, I would say I almost prefer DIY shows just for the sake of the fact that you get a much nicer like mix of like really awesome people that you get to interact with. I mean, I would rather play, for example, like a deck show where there's like 100 people or more,
yeah,
versus like something where, you know, you play an actual venue and then like 20 or 30 people show
that's
up.
That's on Carey Street, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing that next week, actually. I take that back.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, you just get a better vibe, and it's just a lot nicer way of getting your music to be heard.
I think they're honestly very incomparable.
Yeah.
I think they both have their own merits.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, in some scenarios. I think that definitely overall, I think that we all prefer more DIY house show type stuff. But I think that there definitely is merit to playing more organized events as well.
Sure, but I also feel like that has more to do with Richmond's scene in general.
Yeah.
Richmond has a very, very DIY or die scene, which I'm here for. I love it. And the venues around Richmond are also pretty understanding of that, for the most part.
There's a lot of really cool venues.
Yeah,
I mean,
like I played Bandidos last night, and that place is awesome. It was my first time ever going there.
Oh,
it's
phenomenal.
A super cool venue.
They have a killer happy hour, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, while more organized events are awesome, I would say that I think organized events, especially in a lot of places in Richmond, definitely still have a DIY feel.
Yeah.
Because they'll let just about anybody come out and play and just have a good old time. I mean, I've seen venues where one night it's a reggae group and the next night it's like a, you know, bluegrass band, and
the next night
it's like death metal.
And then the night after that it's a drag show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like that's so cool, and I don't think I've seen that.
Are you talking about the Camel specifically?
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the thing about the Camel is that they're like, you know, they're owned by themselves.
They're,
so they are kind of a DIY show, even though they are.
I thought
venue.
Were collaborators with Broadberry and Richmond Music Hall.
No, they're employee owned.
Yeah, they're employee owned.
Yeah,
it says
awesome.
It on their glass that I accidentally stole last time I was there.
Yeah.
Do
you guys have a favorite show that you've played?
Ooh, probably one of the best shows, honestly.
If you all have a different one, that's also fine, too. We can take more than one answer.
Personally, I think the one that we played under the bridge
under the bridge
Belle Isle has been my favorite.
Okay.
That was a fun one. I would say my favorite, absolute favorite, had to be the last time we played The Deck. That was our EP release show. We got to play all those songs, and there was, like, what, 200-some-odd people?
Yeah, it was wild.
And so it's the best part about it for me is when there's all those people there. There's understandably a lot of people that have never heard of you before. But I've also, like, playing at The Deck, I look out and see people, like, singing the song with me.
Oh, that's crazy. That's cool.
And I'm like, that's, I mean, I
especially for a band that you said started, like, 19, 2020 kind of around there. Okay.
Yeah. So it was just a really nice feeling, and I almost cried a little bit. You know. but yeah, no, that's definitely my favorite show because it just felt like such a good time and a lot of good people just rocking out, and yeah, it was just so much fun.
My favorite show personally goes to our Camel performance. We performed at the Camel. It was my first performance in front of
Your engine died that day. Your engine died that
my
day.
Engine
I
died
remember
today.
That.
Dude, yeah,
that,
I love that show. My car is fucked.
That was $5,000 I'll never get back. it was my first time performing in front of my childhood best friend Matt, everything about it, from like little things like me stealing Tom's water when his girlfriend had to pick it up for him.
I was like, I'm thirsty, can you grab me a water?
Yeah, Tom asked for a cup of water, and his partner Jess went over to pick it up, and they handed it over to Tom, and I picked up the water, drank the entire fucking cup. Dude, beautiful moment.
Yeah, I will say that was also one of the shows we played with Kings of the Wild Things. And
oh, yeah.
They're nice. Other homies. They're from Baltimore.
Townsend,
Maryland. And they're super great guys. Shout out to Oscar, who's, again, a really inspirational musician. So full of energy, it's kind of terrifying.
I, yeah. I, I was wearing my blue suede shoes for like the first ever performance, and I was like, dude, this is gonna be so cool. Watch this. And I went over to the microphone. I was like, yo guys, for the first ever time, you guys are going to see. I step up. I show off my blue suede shoes. I'm like, how the fuck do my blue suede shoes look? And people popped like it was.
They did. They loved that.
So I think my favorite show, this is going to be a little bit different of an answer, and it's a venue that I know for a fact we will never play again. It is...
Say it together. KC's Music Alley.
Played a four-hour show to three people.
Oh my god.
And those
all
three
of them
people,
were crew.
Yeah. Those three people were Noah's partner, Noah's sister, and our photographer Oliver.
Oh, and my father.
Yeah, and your father.
Jess was there too.
Oh, Jess was also. Yeah. You're right. I thought Jess was backstage though.
Yeah, she might have been. I don't know.
Anyway.
I mean, it was,
the most humbling experience of my life. The funniest part about it is it is probably the tightest music we've ever been.
Yeah,
actually.
We played our fucking asses off.
To nobody.
To an empty room, and it was humbling, but we hopped off that stage feeling pretty damn proud of ourselves regardless.
Which, all things considered, is pretty awesome, because if you've never stepped out onto a stage where you expected to see people in the crowd and saw nobody, that's pretty crushing.
Not even that, because I don't think that's the hard part. Because playing to not a lot of people is whatever. You just play your set.
Sure.
Playing to nobody for 4 hours, that's soul crushing.
Yeah.
Valid.
That's soul crushing.
Valid.
Because it's not, I get to play my set and then leave and go, man, that was awful. It's, okay, I have to sit here for 4 hours. Funny enough, that's where one of my personal favorite Low Life songs was exposed to the band. We were playing a 4 hour gig in another one, in Aylett, at another round or two. And he just walks up to us and goes, hey, I've got a solo song that I can do just guitar. And we were trying to kill time because my mother was heckling us.
Like, yeah, fuck it. Play it twice.
And
seriously.
So we were just like, take it. And he played it and it blew us all away.
Yeah.
And we were like, as soon as we walked off stage, I looked at him and was like, yeah, we're getting that recorded.
And that became Hurt, which is on the Who's the Frontman EP, and it's, again, like one of my favorite songs.
Listen to that one. It's arguably one of our best.
It is our best. It's our best song ever made. We
can't say it's
Blake
our best because
sarcastic.
Then Blake's ego will inflate even more.
I'm not being sarcastic. This is real.
The funny
I'm
part
the meds.
About Hurt.
Stop!
It's okay, because I can take Blake's ego off right now. The funny part about Hurt is that actually all of those vocals are mine, because Blake... Turns out.
He's right.
Yeah.
That's why they suck dick.
All right, fellas.
All right. Sorry.
But no, I
no it's all
might
love.
Be,
it's all love.
I was going to say, the only thing I think that might be more humbling is when you play to an audience full of people who don't care. So before we get into Chloe's corner here and wrap it up a little bit, I wanted to ask, do you guys share any interest other than music?
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons. Fuck yeah. That's the second
all
one we got.
Four of us play.
Who's your dungeon master?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Noah. I run a different tabletop RPG called Kids on Brooms, which is just like Harry Potter, but not run by a transphobic prick.
I know jack shit about the rules, but I was a theater kid, so like this is like the second most embarrassing thing I'm doing.
Yeah, not only that, believe it or not, it's a great resume builder. You know, collaborative improvisational storytelling.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
Collaborational world building.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All
right, so Chloe, you got some questions for us.
Oh, yeah.
More personal questions.
Oh gosh. Deep dive. So personal.
I was about to say, I haven't seen my therapist in a while.
We don't have that much time.
Okay. All right.
So if someone's coming to Richmond, they're visiting you, where are you going to take them?
Ooh. For, like, food or for, like, events
in general?
To show
generally.
Them Richmond,
yeah.
What you think
them,
is
like,
Richmond.
To show them Richmond as a whole, I would have to say either the Deck or the Camel. Because the Deck shows you how amazing the DIY scene in Richmond is, but the Camel shows you, like, the other end of, like, the music scene, and also they have awesome food and really good drinks.
Preferably for a Friday show, and then we go to Bodilla's afterwards, because that place always hits.
I think the best place is the Camel, because it's the best of both worlds that meet the two most underrated factors of Richmond, the music and the food.
Yes.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
For sure. So what's everyone's zodiac sign?
And are you the zodiac?
Oh my god.
Is it bad? Okay, am I allowed to say I don't care? Or is that rude?
No, you don't have to care.
My partner's quaking right now.
Can I just... I just want to quickly... This is a side. Jess, if you're listening, please don't go off on this. My partner, Jess, is a professional astrologer.
Whoa.
So I... Yep, I hear about this kind of thing every day.
I'm just curious.
And as you can probably guess by my attitude, I'm a Scorpio.
Hey, I'm a triple.
Hey!
Do you think that you would be able to guess my zodiac sign?
I don't know you that well.
Valid. We've known this person for less than 3 hours.
That's valid, yeah. Who am I? Can you entirely psychoanalyze me in 30 seconds?
I'm a Libra, to answer your question.
I'm a Libra.
I'm a Cancer.
Oh, love that.
Oh, jeez. Happy belated.
I'm like right on the edge, too. I'm September 23rd.
Yeah, I'm October 24th, so August I just 23rd. Beat.
Oh, shit. Mine's the 25th.
Hey!
Oh, snap.
Wow. Nice.
Snap.
All right, so what is your guilty pleasure?
Kelly Clarkson. The first Kelly Clarkson album, Breakaway, is one of the best pop rock albums of all time, and I will die on this goddamn hill. Behind Those Hazel Eyes hits every time.
Hell yeah.
Are we talking about musical guilty pleasure or just in
general?
Just general.
I don't know, because I'm so like unapologetic about everything I do, for the most part.
Yo, I've been watching fucking Family Guy recently. You know how upset I am about that?
Dude,
I fucking hate Family Guy. I've been watching the shit out of it.
So recently. I live 45 minutes away in Montpelier, if you're familiar with the area. That is bumfuck nowhere country. I have satellite Wi-Fi that works 40% of the time. So all I have is cable TV, and pretty much all I watch is Naked and Afraid.
Fuck yeah, dude!
And American Dad.
Naked and Afraid is so good.
Yes, it is. Have you seen the what is it? The survival one where there's like 16 fucking people.
Yes,
and it's like that one's dope. Yeah, dude, it's dope as shit.
Whoa,
and like
was it like Naked and Afraid XL or something?
Yeah, XL, and they put like 3 people on a team, and there's like 12 of them, and you can like mash teams. And
yeah, I'm still struggling to think of again anything that I feel guilty about.
Share.
I love Diet Coke.
I know my answer.
You said Diet Coke?
Yeah, I love Diet Coke.
That's
Michael my guilty
Jackson.
Pleasure.
My answer is Michael Jackson. I love his
That's
music.
Fair.
It sucks. I hate him. He's a shitbag human being.
Yeah.
But fuck.
I remember the first time I heard the Thriller and saw a music video, I was like, okay, I'm hooked. My friend's like, you know he's gay, right? And that's not the issue right now, but...
yeah, right.
Have you seen this music video? It fucks, dude.
I think he fucks boys.
Oh!
Like,
he died in 2011. Like, is that like too soon, or is that like...
I think we can always hit him for being a pedophile. I think you can always get someone for being a pedophile.
No, you're absolutely right. Right. No, now that you say that, you're absolutely right.
Double if he's dead. Fair?
Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure? Pedophile. Sorry.
Honestly, I think my guilty pleasure at the moment... does anyone else remember that band from the early 2010s, Fun?
Oh my
god, I fucking hate Fun.
Holy shit, that's a guilty pleasure.
I hate Fun.
I
hate
recently started listening to them again and like thriving in my like early 8th grade self.
I will say, I figured out what my guilty pleasure is that I absolutely love like really shitty like mid-2000s butt rock.
Yeah, like Creed.
No, I don't like Creed, no. Crossfade. Crossfade is my jam all day long. Like, that's just...
Calm, that word scares me with you.
Yeah. Is that how you got the voice?
Yeah,
sorry.
That's why I sing the way I sing, is because I listen too much to too much CrossFit.
I want a free land.
All right, last one for right now. What is your go-to Taco Bell order?
I used to work at a Taco Bell, and let me tell you, I have tried everything on the menu at least twice. Are special promotions included? Are we talking about just core menu?
You're going to Taco Bell right now. What are you getting?
All right. I am El Cheapo. I love the Cravings Value Menu. 2 cheesy bean and rice burritos, a pack of Cinnabon Delights, and fucking a large Baja Blast. Perfect.
Oh,
perfect order. For me, this is only like a 10-cent difference, too, so it works. So you get a chicken quesadilla combo, swap the chicken quesadilla out for a steak quesadilla, then swap the crunchy taco, because who the hell likes a straight country taco from Taco Bell? For either Doritos Locos or a soft
Fuck
taco.
Yeah.
And then a large Baja Blast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Baja Blast.
stay strong.
My go-to Taco Bell order makes me cry because they unfortunately took the quesarito off the menu at
mobile
most Taco
order.
Bell locations.
It's on the mobile.
Oh my god!
I don't have time for a mobile.
Just
app.
On mobile.
It
Fuck
makes
you.
It
the one
faster.
The Anyways. Taco Bell on Broad Street will like only let you do like the mobile order now.
What?
Yeah, I've rolled up so many times, and they're like, you have to place your order online.
But yeah, I usually go with 2 steak quesaritos and a large Baja Blast, and that's why I weigh like 120 pounds.
We have one more left.
You know, I was disappointed when they took the beefy Fritos burrito off the menu. I was disappointed when they lost the Mexican pizzas. Even when they brought them back, they sold out before I could get one. Damn. And I haven't found a location that has them again. If we're going strictly like core menu, I go to Taco Bell right now. What I'm getting is a chicken quesadilla, a beef chalupa, and 2 Doritos Locos Nachos tacos supremes.
Hell yeah.
And a large Baja Blast. Coat it in fire sauce and send it down.
Real quick, have y'all tried the new crispy, like, Cantina?
Jesus. Oh, so crispy good. Cantina chicken tacos.
So they're really good.
Really?
Okay. They're really good.
So no crunch wraps.
No.
You know what? I was turned off from crunch wraps because I used to work there and I had to make them. Folding those is absolute hell. Don't get me started about the triple double crunch wrap. I will start having flashbacks.
I'm done. My mother is still currently crying because they took the Mexican pizza off.
Oh, yeah.
It's back.
Is it?
Yeah, they brought it back and then immediately sold out.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
They have
a thing
so
on
valid.
All of
the
Mexican menus
of,
like,
so
the
good.
Taco Bell's around that says, thank you for the love of the Mexican pizza. You love it so much that it's sold out. Please wait until we can restock.
Damn.
Low life Taco Bell party.
Please. Do y'all have anyone you want to shout out?
Yeah. First of all, like he said earlier, Pat from House and Home. Oscar from Kings of the Wild Things. Kurt, Noah's dad. We wouldn't be where we are right now with music in general without him. He helped us a lot starting out.
He did a lot of backlining manager stuff, getting us a lot of our first shows.
And then a big one to Tommy from the deck.
Yeah. Absolutely. To end it, can we all scream fuck Wawa at the same time?
Yeah, it seems we're going to.
Okay.
Join in on this?
So yeah, we're...
Fuck Wawa?
Not yet. Just wait, guys. I'll give it to you guys.
All right, well, I'm Chloe.
And I'm Cole.
This is episode 56 of River City Sounds. We have with us
Low Life Tea Party.
All right, and now you can do.
Hey yo,
fuck Wawa! Good night, everybody.
We got a couple more for you guys. We haven't played this song in about half a year, but this is off our third studio album, Get It Together. By the way, we're Low Life Tea Party. You can find us on all major streaming platforms if you want to check out our music or just check us out on social media. Now I'm really all alone. music feel that I moved on. I'm not alone now, chilling with my pals. That's when we wrote this song. Better the first time, worse than the last time. Better if I just leave. Not meant to hurt you, know that I love you. This is what's meant to be. You're at my show now, up in my hometown. And you know every single word. Singing along now, thinking about how we used to be. More song for you guys. This is off of our debut album. This is like the first song I ever wrote when I was 15. The song's called Tongue Tied.
Getting on the right side of the road. Lost and I don't know where I'm going. Sobered up with not a thing to say. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to stay. I'm tongue-tied on the west side of nowhere. Lost and I ain't got nothing to say. On the west side of nowhere. Lost and I have got nothing to say. Sitting on the right side of the road. Lost and I don't know where I'm going. Sick and tired of all that shit you do. Here comes my ride, ride on to tongue-tied on the west side of nowhere. Lost and I have got nothing to say. Tongue-tied on the west side of nowhere. Lost and I have got nothing to say. Lost and I have got nothing to say.